They say that variety is the spice of life. That's true looking around at all of you. We've all different colors and shapes and backgrounds. Some of us have lost weight recently, Martin, haven't we? And some of us need to.
I've seen the pies in your
I still have 6 mince pies left over from Christmas. Huh? So if anyone wants a mince pie this morning, I haven't had one. This body is a temple, except Martin's building an extension. Whether it's our International Food Days and the variety of spice, Shelley managed to get some foods sneaked home from the men's curry night. And she brought the dish back this morning. And it's great when we have that variety. And that's true when it comes to our spiritual life as well. As we've kind of journeyed through the Lord's Prayer, if you have your Bible, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. And we're just going to refresh our memory. It's very familiar to all of us. But as Liz pointed out last week, Jesus started off by talking about the things that we shouldn't do in prayer. Matthew 6, verse 5. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. I find it a very readable and accurate translation. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on as the people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask Him. Any needs here this morning? Oh, no, only Rose has some needs, so, you know, the rest of you are fine. Your Father knows. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need before you ask Him. Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin. I'll let you guys, back on. So, one of the things I want to talk about is this whole idea of listening prayer. This is the stuff we've covered over the last few weeks. And as we said earlier, you can catch up online. But one of the things I want to talk about is the fact that when it comes to thinking about our daily bread, we almost always think about our physical bread. As an Irishman, bread and potatoes is a staple in my diet. It just works. And we almost always think about physical bread, but actually I think Jesus was going a little bit deeper than just our physical bread. And we'll come to that. You see, we're made for relationship with God. We're actually made for conversation with Him. Look how it started back in the garden. You remember the scripture says in Genesis 3 that God came looking for Adam and that Adam would walk with God in the cool of the evening. We're made for that sort of relationship. We're made for conversation. And part of what I think Jesus wants us to learn when we talk about our daily bread, it's not just our physical bread. It's actually our spiritual bread. It's spiritual life. It's something from heaven. And that's why the discipline of prayer and reading our Bible is actually so important. And we have so much technology today that helps us to do that. Maybe you come and you say, I'm not a great reader. I don't like reading. There's so many options that you can choose nowadays to listen to God's word and engage with it. So the key is that there is that friendship, that relationship with God. And I think that's part of what God wants us to learn. Jesus himself said, my sheep listen to my voice. And I think as we've gone through midweek, one of the things that's come up, certainly in our group, is this whole idea that we're not very good at listening in prayer, are we? We present a shopping list. We talk to God a lot, even throughout the day. And we tell him how we think he should answer our prayers. Yes? How we think he should manage the world, our lives, and other people around us. And we don't always listen. We don't always listen for that daily bread. And I want to talk a little bit about why that's actually important for us. But we were made for that. Now, Lewis is going to help, first of all. So, come up the front, mate. And we're going to see how good we are at listening. Okay, so what I want you to do, this is where you'll need your pens. I want you to describe what you see on the page, and they have to draw it. So they can't see this. You have to describe it to draw it. All right?
I guess.
So you're not allowed to ask questions. This is a listening exercise. Hold it up, because I can see some of them wanting to cheat already. Huh? So describe what you see on the page, and let's see how good they are at listening. It's a listening exercise, Yvonne. Listening. Go ahead, ma'am. Sorry for that distraction.
They're all shapes. One of them is circular.
What else have you got?
They're in different places.
What other shapes do you see? What do you call that?
There is a square.
Right. And what other shape?
And a triangle.
Right. So you try and describe that so they can draw that.
The circle is at the bottom.
See, some of you just went ahead.
The triangle is in the top right corner. And the square is in the top left corner. But they are all touching each other.
Ah! Yeah!
The square has the thickest lines.
What's the thickest line?
Thickest. The circle is the biggest.
We'll come to what we learn about listening in a few minutes, Shelley.
The square is the second biggest, and the triangle is the smallest.
Is there anything about the triangle that will help those who haven't already drawn?
The triangle it doesn't have a flat bit at the bottom. The flat bit is on the right side.
He's correct. Thank you, Matt. That's a good start. We'll get someone else to do the next shape. Okay, so this is what you should have drawn. Let me see. That's not bad, Yvonne, for someone who wasn't listening at the start. What else? Oh, Shelley's not bad. Bev, yeah, hold yours up. That's not bad either. But has anyone got the right proportions? The biggest circle? No. Okay, I'm going to give you one more chance. Okay, Yvonne, you come and explain now. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Now, what you don't know is Yvonne is in the art. Come on, Yvonne. Yvonne is in the art club. And one of the things we're going to do is, on the back wall, we're going to have some paintings. This is one of the paintings that Yvonne has done. Isn't that lovely? I was tempted to say it was me, but those of you who know me know I can't draw. Okay, so you need to listen again. And what I want you to do is describe that so they can draw it.
Okay.
You could use the reverse side.
Okay.
Sorry? Full sheet. I told you that first time, but some people didn't listen.
I want you to close your eyes and imagine a golf ball on the top of a tea thing. What's it called? The tea.
Oh, hold it. Oh. Hold it steady. Hold it steady.
Okay. So I want you to close your eyes and imagine a golf ball on the top of a tea thing. What do you call it?
Golf tea.
A golf tea. Okay. So I want a big circle on the middle of the page. I want a thick square inside the circle. And I want a triangle in the shape of the golf tee on the bottom.
This is good advice. Very good.
Yeah, that's what I saw, a golf ball. I saw a golf ball.
Golf works for me. I wasn't thinking of that, but it works for me. Anything else that will help them?
The triangle, the little thing, what do you call this?
Triangle.
The point is upside down. And the big one is on the top to balance the ball. Yeah.
Okay. I think your first description of the golf tee is pretty good. So let's see what you've got. That's not bad. Marcus, apart from proportions. Oh, look at Shelley. Top of the class, Shelley. Stand up and show everyone what you got. Almost. Not bad. Keep working. What is it they used to say? Keep working on that, Becky. What else have we got? Not bad. So this is actually what you should have drawn. So you can see where she's doing about the golf tee and the ball and yeah. Okay. You did it? Did everyone get the proportions right? I think Marcus was probably one of the closest. Okay, a little fun to engage with. So here's the question. Here's the question. What do we learn about listening from that exercise? We don't always listen. We don't always wait, because some of you were drawing even before there was explanations of size or proportion. What else?
Hard to understand what the speaker is saying.
Okay, because they can see it. So they see clearly, they know how it works, but describing what you see to someone else. Yep. And you're not allowed to ask questions. What else do we learn about listening? What do you learn about your listening?
We need to have a vision, and we didn't have a vision, so I tried to explain what I thought.
Okay.
We don't listen.
We don't listen very well, do we?
Impatient.
We're impatient, yeah, definitely. And that, I think that's one of the challenges we face when it comes to God, to be honest, and our spiritual lives, because we don't take the time to listen to God. And I think that's one of the things Jesus is talking about when he comes to talking about our daily bread. And so here's my basic point. That's what you should have had in the first two. Listening prayer brings spiritual life through affirmation. Jesus wants us to have spiritual life, yes? Do we agree with that? John 10, verse 10, I have come that you might have life and that life in all its fullness. Well, one of the ways that happens is when we listen to him, we receive his affirmation. Now, let's be honest, we live in a world that's very negative. We live in a world that you put on the news and it's a negative stream. You go on any of the social media, it's often a negative stream. And we are impacted by that, aren't we? Young people are facing serious mental health issues because of social media. Because they're comparing themselves to others. And sometimes in this generation, they're told, they're brought up and they're told, oh, you can be anything you want. That's not quite true, is it? Because we have limitations on our life. And children are taught, oh, and everyone's a winner. Well, no, they're not. Some people struggle at some stuff. And suddenly, young people hit an age where things aren't working out, where not everybody likes them, where their boss wants them to turn up regularly to work on time. And no one's ever challenged them about those issues before. And suddenly, they take a nosedive. We live in a world that's consumed by negativity. And that impacts us spiritually as well. We have an enemy. You do know that, don't you? We have a spiritual enemy who's out to get us. He hates you. He's not fluffy and cuddly. He hates you. He wants your spiritual life to be bankrupt and dead. And he will do everything in his power. And one of the things he does is he makes you so busy that you cannot listen to the voice of God. And yet, it's exactly what happens in Scripture that he wants. Incredible verse of Moses, Moses 33:11. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks with a friend. I think that's a wonderful concept of prayer, because many of us come with this idea that when it comes to prayer, we are twisting the arm of a reluctant God. Is that what we feel? Well, if we pray enough, if we fast enough, if we say it in the right words, if we pray long enough, some cultures, if we pray loud enough, yes? Or if we pray in tongues hard enough, or all of the things, and we forget the fact that prayer at its basic element is friendship with God. Because they had that conversation. And my appeal to you is not to stop praying the prayers of petition, because they're right. Paul says, pray the prayers of petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. But actually, somewhere in your life, to make space to develop your friendship with God. And the way we do that is through listening. There's a voice that comes from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. A number of times in Scripture, the voice comes from heaven and people heard it just as thunder because they didn't have that relationship with God. Incredible verse in Matthew 17 where Peter's up the mountain and they have an incredible encounter with God. It's the transfiguration and they see Moses and Elijah and there's a discussion about the suffering of Jesus and Peter gets a little bit excited. He gets a little bit of impatience and he's a little bit rash and he kind of starts to organize God and says, okay, Jesus, here's what we're going to do. We're going to camp up here. We're going to build three booths. We're going to have a Christian conference. We'll get all the merchandise in. We'll advertise it well. And then a voice from heaven comes. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. What does the Father say? Listen to him. I wonder how that sounded. I don't know. Scripture doesn't tell us. But there's some instances we'd love to know the tone, wouldn't you? Did God throw his hands up in the air like a good Italian and go, Mamma mia, Peter, would you listen? Huh? That's what the Italians say, isn't it? Yeah. When you're passionate, come on, you use your hands. Listen to him. Or did he say, listen! Because we rush, don't we? We rush ahead of God so many times. But Jesus had learned something in the desert, and we know the verse well. Remember when he's tempted in the desert for 40 days? And the enemy comes, and what does he say? Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. The idea behind that is not the written word per se, though that's important. It's actually the prophetic word of God. It's the word that's immediate. It's the word that comes alive through the written word. It's that idea of the rhema word. And if we're so busy not listening, we're not going to have that bread of life come to us. And we're not going to hear the voice of affirmation. Do you wonder why so many times Jesus came and spent solitary time with the Father? It's because he needed to hear that affirmation. He needed to hear the voice of the Father saying, it is the way of the cross. Keep going. Keep preaching. Keep teaching. Keep healing. You're heading towards Jerusalem. This is what it's going to mean. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places to seek the voice of the Father. And I would suggest to you, if Jesus had to do that, we have to. We have to learn how to listen, because we don't live by bread alone. Paul comes and brings a great revelation to us in the Romans chapter 8. If you have your Bible, why don't you turn there? Many of you will know it, but I think it's worth looking at again very quickly. Romans chapter 8. It's part of the work of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Martin talked about generations of slaves in Macedonia. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we can call him Abba Father, or our Father, dear Father. For his Spirit joined with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since to hear that voice of the Father saying, we belong. We belong to him. Because we are assaulted at times by doubt, aren't we? We're assaulted by times by the enemy trying to deceive us. And the Revelation says that he also accuses us. Those are the three voices that are constantly coming in your life and in my life. Accusation, temptation, and condemnation. That's what he wants to bring in your life. And so if you're not listening to the voice of the Father, guess what's going to happen? You're going to take a nosedive in your spiritual life. You are. It's only when you come back and hear that voice of the Father and receive that daily bread can you be strong. Can you then do the work of ministry? Henri Nguyen is a writer that I love. Let me read the whole quote. Part of it's on here for you, and the PDF. Go on the website to get the whole quote. You have to keep unmasking the world about you for what it is, because it's manipulative, it's controlling, it's power hungry. And in the long run, the world is destructive. The world tells you many lies about who you are, and you simply have to be realistic enough to remind yourself of this. Every time you feel hurt, every time you feel offended, every time you feel rejected, you have to dare to say to yourself, these feelings, strong as they may be, are not telling me the truth of myself. The truth, even though I may not feel it right now, is that I am a chosen child of God, that I'm precious in his eyes, that I am called the beloved for all eternity and held safe in an everlasting belief. Folks, I could save you a lot of trouble if you would do what you've just been told. Honestly, I could half the counseling I have to do in pastoral ministry if you would listen to the voice that says you are the beloved. Because that's the biggest issue for many of you. That's where you doubt. That's where you struggle. That's where you feel you don't belong. That's why at times you don't come to church. Because you feel that distance. But if you would listen to the voice of the Father, you would hear that affirmation, you would receive it as daily bread, and you would know that you are the beloved of God. That would change your perspective eternally. I'm telling you, folks, please listen to me when I share this with passion. Get this in your bones. Get this in your heart. Get this in your DNA, that we are the beloved of God. His Spirit testifies that we belong to him. Amen. That will make a difference to your spiritual life. We need to get hold of this. What transformation can occur in us through listening prayer? I think it is peace and agitation. I think there's so many Christians that are agitated because life is a little bit messy for them. A group of psychiatrists once had a conference, and they were asked to come up with the definition of life. And at the end of the conference, they read out this statement. And the statement basically said, life is messy, get used to it. Life is going to be messy, isn't it? And we sometimes want to manage that and control that. And we get agitated when we can't control. Listen, folks, you can't change anyone. You have difficulty enough changing yourself, correct? Yes. You think you can control or change anyone else? The problem with God is that he thinks he's God. And so he's in charge, he's in control, and sometimes we have to learn to live with the mess. Jesus said, my peace I give you, not as the world gives. But that isn't the kind of Peter Pan fairy dust that we all float off to never, never land and just have fun. In fact, Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but take courage because I have overcome the world. We can have peace in the middle of difficulty. We can have peace in the storm. We can know God's voice. We can know God's purposes in the middle of it. Life is going to be messy. It doesn't mean to say that God has abandoned you. Doesn't mean to say God has excluded you or rejected you. Look at the life of Jesus. Look at the life of Paul. Look at the life of the apostles. In fact, just read your Bible. This idea that it's all health, wealth, prosperity with never any trouble. I don't know what Bible those people are reading. Because Paul was shipwrecked, stoned, beaten, left for dead, called an imposter. All sorts of stuff went on. Hungry, sleepless nights. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, take up your cross. The symbol of execution. We have to die to this idea that life is going to be all serene and perfect and we're never going to have problems if we serve God. It's a lie of the enemy. It's a lie in your life if you think you have to have everything peaceful and right and all the T's crossed and the I's dotted in order to serve God. It's never going to happen. Do you know what Paul says in Philippians chapter 1? It was our reading in devotion this morning. He said, I'm in prison, but the gospel's going forward, so I rejoice. And some had come to him with a report, Paul, people are taking advantage of the fact that you're in prison and using their own selfish ambition to preach the gospel. He said, I don't care whatever reason they're preaching the gospel for, the gospel is still being preached. What an incredible attitude in the midst of a prison environment. Folks, we have to realize we can have peace in the middle of agitating circumstances. We can be searched and known. One of the challenges of church is that we put on a mask, don't we? We pretend, how are you? I'm fine. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, hopefully you've seen by now, we encourage some level of honesty. Sometimes you can't be honest with everyone, but you should be honest with someone about where you're really at. Yes? You do need to have someone that you can open up to. And the scripture says in Psalm 139, verse 24, search me and know me and see if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Do you know what the voice of God wants to do in your life? It wants to search you and know you. That's uncomfortable sometimes, isn't it? Because if we're not living in the place we know we should be living. Sometimes people have said to me in the past, you preach a lot about grace. When are we going to hear about sin and judgment? When are you really going to give it to people? Well, we do preach about sin. But actually, the truth is, most of us know we fall short. Most of us know where our faults are. Most of us know where we get it wrong. We don't need people to heap condemnation on us. In fact, Paul says there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. So our job is to heap grace on you. Because grace, according to Paul and Timothy, says, teaches us to say no to ungodliness. So grace is not a license to do what you want. Oh, it's okay. Pastor David says, I can live under grace. Grace is the opportunity to live a godly life. We need grace to say no to godliness. Say no to godliness. Ungodliness. Grace teaches to say no to ungodliness. We need to be searched and known. And sometimes, if I'm honest, that's a challenge for us. Because we don't want to draw close to God. Because there's things in our life that are wrong. They are. They're wrong. They're wrong because we haven't forgiven. They're wrong because we're not giving and honoring God in our giving. They're wrong because we're carrying unforgiveness or bitterness. They're wrong because 101 reasons why it can be wrong. And we don't want to be searched and known. And so we keep God at a distance. We're born again. We're saved. Going to heaven. But the whole idea of a relationship with God and intimacy with God, maybe we'll leave that behind. And the third thing that I think happens when we listen to the voice of God is that we're nudged forward into service. See, you can't be a Christian and be a passenger. I'm sorry. It's just not biblical. You cannot be a Christian and just want to sit in church and do nothing. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he has prepared for us in eternity. Do you know what that word workmanship actually means? It's the word where we get the idea of poem. Grace, your life is meant to be poetry. Did you know that? No, poetry, as in a written poem. Your life is meant to be poetry, Nick. Danielle, your life is meant to be poetry. We can only do that as we serve God, as we allow God to shape us and mold us and make us into what he wants us to be. But make no mistake about it, we have been prepared in eternity to do a work. God has shaped us. And again, I think it's one of the reasons people don't want to engage. They don't want to really get close to God because it will challenge their comfort zones. Now, comfort is great in many areas of life. Comfortable chair is nice. Nice telly's nice. I like gadgets, so I like things that I'm comfortable with. Size of writing on screens, I like comfortable now, so I don't have to do that all the time. We like things that are comfortable, but in our Christian life, there are many times where comfort is our enemy. We are created to do good works. The challenge is, when we listen to the voice of God, he will nudge you into service. And that won't be comfortable, will it? But God has prepared them in eternity. Martin said earlier, that when I stand before God, I will have to give an account for how I've pastored you, how I've shepherded you, how I've led you. And one of the things I have to give an account for, have I given you the opportunity to know your spiritual gifts and to serve according to your spiritual gifts? We should know our spiritual gifts like we know our name, address, and telephone number. We should. We should know them so that we know what our purpose is and how God has called us to serve him. And that's the challenge in listening to God's voice. We're going to close in 2 minutes. You will be familiar with the passage, lots of passages from Revelation, that therefore you can look them up later. But in the Gospels, Jesus also says, he who has ears, let him hear. Basically, paraphrasing that, Jesus said, listen up, pay close attention. He did that a number of times. He said, listen up, I want you to pay close attention. And in the book of Revelation, that's one of the repeated patterns that the Spirit says to the church. He says to the church, whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. I wonder, is that our attitude? Truthfully. I wonder, is that our attitude, that we come and we say, do you know what? I want to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. I want to hear what the Spirit is saying to me. I want to hear what the Spirit is saying about the things that I need challenged in my life. I want to hear what the Spirit is saying about the things where I need comfort in my life. See, the prophetic word, according to 1 Corinthians 14, is to comfort, encourage, and strengthen. So even when God challenges us, and He will, His motivation is to comfort, encourage, and strengthen. So will you come? And will you say, as Samuel did, you know the story of Samuel? Samuel was only a young boy. Eli had stopped recognizing the voice of God. It took him 3 times before he realized. And he said, okay, Samuel, I've got it now. Go back, and when you hear this voice again, hear the voice of God. Say, speak, for your servant is listening. Speak, for your servant is listening. Young boys and young girls, can I say to you, you can receive the call of God as a young person. You don't need to wait till you're older, till you're 50, till you're gray hair or no hair. Anytime. I'm not proud, Grace, I'll insult anyone. Boys and girls, you don't have to wait. You can listen to the voice of God and know His purpose and His plan for your life. Whatever age you're at, whatever age Samuel was a young boy, Moses was 80 years old and he received a call to service in the backside of the desert. Why? Because he listened to the voice of God. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sinned against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Father, I pray you'd help us listen to your voice. I pray you'd help us be people who pursue that voice of the Spirit in our lives, that we come and we say, Lord, we're hungry for that affirmation that comes through your voice. We need that sense of belonging. We need that sense of believing. We need that comfort and strength and encouragement that only comes from your voice, not the world. And we stand on that scripture that says that even if our hearts condemn us, you are greater than our hearts. So, Lord, we bless you this morning. And all God's people said it. Amen. Amen.